The first three verses. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I'm going to read them again. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So look at that, living a life worthy of the calling we've received. As I look around here, I see people who I think are living lives worthy of the calling we've received. I see people who are completely humble and gentle, who are patient, and who bear with each other in love. I do think as a church, we bear with each other in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And I do think, as a fellowship, we are pretty united. We may not agree on everything. We may not always agree on things, but that's not what unity is. Unity is about working together. I think, as a fellowship, we can say that we live lives worthy of the calling we've received. We can say that we're patient, we bear with each other. We can say that we are making every effort, I think we are, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. But I often think, with things that we do well, this can apply to anything in life, it's easy to become just a little bit complacent and think, yeah, we're doing that well. The thing that comes to me out of this is, with the things that we're doing well, the things we do well, whether it be other things in life, whatever it is, but particularly in terms of where we are as a church at the moment, the things we're doing well, the way we look after each other, the amount of people who've asked about Kath this week has been fantastic. Even people who don't know her particularly well. We are a fellowship who care for each other, who bear with each other. And the words I want to say is, let's not be complacent about that. Let's ask God to help us do it even better. Because we can do things even better than we do them, whatever it is in life. Sometimes the things you do well, it's almost easy to... we all have different gifts, different abilities, different things we can do, things we're good at, things we're not so good at. And the things we're good at, sometimes we take a little bit for granted that we can do them. But I think, as well, what God says to us is, okay, let me help you to do those even better. Let me help you to be a fellowship that is even better at living a life worthy of the calling you've received out in the community. A fellowship that's even better at bearing with each other in love. Because we do, we're not perfect. We're not quite perfect, are we? We're not perfect. A fellowship that's even better at keeping the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Things we don't do well as people, as individuals, as a church, let's think about those, let's pray about those, let's ask God what we do about those. But the things that we do well, things that we are good at, let's not be complacent. Let's not think we're good at that, that's fine. Because that's when Satan can easily disrupt us, without us realising it sometimes. Let's keep asking God to protect her, to protect the unity of our fellowship. Let's keep asking God to protect our ability to bear with each other. Because sooner or later, that will be tested. That will be tested. Yeah, sooner or later, in different ways. And there are, as we look around, and I'm not asking anyone to look at anyone in particular, there are some people we get on really well with, there's other people who we struggle a little bit more with. In any group of people, that's the way. But in a Christian church, what you hope is that you bear with the people who you struggle a bit more with, and you make the effort yourself. Unity isn't about you being like me. It's more about me trying to find a way to be with you. It's me, what I can do to be united with you. It's not about me thinking you guys need to be united with me. Does that make sense? It's what can I do? What can I do to be united to you? What can I do if I struggle with you? Well, I need to be bearing with someone. I don't need them to bear with me or them to change. Yeah, we do things as a church. I love seeing just people chatting to each other. The way people welcome those who are new to the church is great. Let's not be complacent about it. Let's try and do it even better than we do at the moment. Let's ask God to, by the power of His Spirit, to help us to be even better at the things we do well than we are at the moment. Does that all make sense?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. What are we going to do next? What's the time? There's a few things I want to say about baptism. Pete, do you want to say? Pete's got just a very, very, very few words he wants to say, which normally we'd probably do as part of the, baptism on the beach. All right, okay. Sean, you can finish your story. I think that's Pete's one.
No.
Normally we like to say this sort of as Pete's getting baptised, but obviously not everyone's going to be down there. Even those who are down there probably aren't going to be that close to the sea, some of them. So
my very few words were, Jesus has saved me, and I've submitted to him in obedience as my Lord. I'm confessing this truth through being baptised. And that stems from things that have happened in the past from about 2012. I think it was Georgia was ill, wasn't she? And the help that I received through the church then, and the fact that I was in hospital looking after, or with Georgia, and I became ill in hospital, and they said if I hadn't been there at that particular time, then I might not have even made it to hospital. And then things that have happened after that have given me quite a lot of faith that praying for help does work and is a thing to do.
Thank you. I just want to say a few words about baptism, particularly, very few words. And sort of why be baptised? Why do we, as a Baptist church, what we believe in is believers' baptism. I know that's, I'm saying the same words a lot there. Baptism as an adult, or as a, not necessarily as an adult necessarily, but as someone who is a believer. When you're christened as an infant, as a baby, that's not, I have no problems with that at all. But obviously, you have no choice. You're taken along and you're christened as a baby. Baptism as a believer, as a Christian believer, is about you making the choice, as Pete's done and as a lot of people here have done, to make the choice to say, yeah, I'm going to be baptised. And what is it about baptism? Is baptism, being baptised as an adult, as a believer, isn't what makes you a Christian. That's not what makes you a Christian. Pete's not going to suddenly go from not being saved to being dunked in the sea and being saved. That's not what it's about. It's not something magic. It's not something you do so you can get something. It's not something you do so you can become a member, or so you can. You know, it's not something we do so that we get somewhere. If I'm honest, I don't really fully understand the significance of baptism. If I'm honest, and I look at the Bible, I'm going to read a few things. The reason I think it's important, even though I don't fully understand it, so firstly, Jesus was baptized. And if Jesus was baptized, I guess that's a good starting point. Matthew chapter 3, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist, that is. John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And John consented. So Jesus was baptized. So yeah, he obviously felt it was something that he needed to do, even the Son of God needed to do. And Jesus' final words to his disciples before he ascended to heaven. Right at the end of Matthew, where is it? Verse 19-20. This is right, the last words, in fact, the last words recorded of Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And it sort of doesn't explain what the baptism part does there, does it? But it's still Jesus saying, you need to be baptised. People become Christians, they're baptised. And it's almost like, I guess the easy way to think of it, and the way probably most people think of it, is the significance of being born again as a Christian. You go down into the water, and hopefully, you come back up out of the water. And it's like being born again, I guess, is the, hopefully you don't end up in France, as Margaret seems to think we're going to. And I think that's sort of the significance of it. If you're not baptised, does it make a difference to your salvation? Not at all. You can be a Christian and not be baptised. But there obviously is some significance, because Jesus was baptized and Jesus said to people, you know, believe and be baptized, or make disciples and baptize them. Who can be baptized? Anybody who's a Christian, anybody who's professed a faith. As Peter's just so beautifully put, he believes in Jesus, he trusts Jesus, he accepts Jesus, he's asked to be forgiven, and that's all it takes. Sometimes in the past we've actually made it quite hard work, I've always felt, with having to go through a series of baptism classes. I don't see anything in the Bible about that. I don't see anything. There's a couple of bits I'm going to read from Acts. I'm going to shut up in a minute, don't worry. I'm not going to talk for long. Acts chapter 2. This is similar to the bit that we just read, what Jesus said. Acts chapter 2, 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I don't think Peter went through all of them and sort of checked with them what their standing was. He sort of trusted that they listened to his word. They became Christians. They accepted his word. They repented there on the spot and were baptized at that point. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And there's another really good story further on in Acts, not story, something really happened, about the Ethiopian, Philip, one of the disciples, traveling along with an Ethiopian. Angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem. He started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of the Candace, which is the queen of the Ethiopians. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Blah, 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 blah. Let's go through. Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip said. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. You'd love to hear the whole of that conversation, wouldn't you? We only hear a tiny little bit. That must have been a fascinating conversation. Tells us about the passage. This is the passage that the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And as we know, that's a passage written hundreds of years before Jesus, about Jesus, about the death of Jesus, by the prophet Isaiah, or in the book of Isaiah. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So there and then, this eunuch had gone from not understanding to presumably accepting what Philip was saying, accepting Jesus as Saviour there and then in the chariot, and being baptized, which is great. When we had lunch with Daniel, those of you who remember when you came for lunch with Daniel, I don't know if you remember, when we went up to the Downs, we were talking about baptism, and he was telling us that he's baptized people in their bath in Kenya. He said that, you know, he's done it. He's gone to people's houses. They've become Christians. He's baptised them there and then in their baths. I don't think we baptised Brett at family camp, didn't we? Yeah. In a very leaky paddling pool. Yeah. I don't think we got him all underwater. Yeah. I don't think we got him all underwater, did we? Because I think the water was leaking out faster than we put it in. But we did it.
It was very emotional time.
It was. It was really good, wasn't it? It was really, really, really good, wasn't it? What am I saying here? To be baptised, you need to be a Christian. That's the qualification. That's the only qualification. To be baptised, you need to be a Christian. Can you be a Christian without being baptised? Of course you can. Of course you can. But Jesus and the Bible does talk about being baptised. When we do Peter's baptism in a few minutes, we'll ask a couple of questions, which Pete's already answered anyway by what he said, but we will ask them while we're in the water. I'll ask them very quickly if the water's cold. But the questions are, and I hope Pete will say yes to them. Over there. Oh, come on. Do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? Do you wish to say sorry for the things you have done wrong and with the help of the Holy Spirit to live your life in God's way? Pete says, I do to those on your profession of repentance and faith. I baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The last thing to say is that obviously baptism as a Baptist church we normally do by immersion in water, but it doesn't always have to be. There are circumstances where people can't, for different reasons, be fully immersed, and we are looking to do that. But that doesn't change the aspect of baptism. That doesn't change it at all. That doesn't change the significance of it. Yeah. If you're a Christian, you can be baptised. If you're a Christian, you can be baptised. That's all I want to say, I think. Shut up. Does that all make sense?
I think it's good enough to a nice effect.